What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
I always used to give Owen Sheehan a good bit of grief for his power rankings. They aren't easy, Will.
As a group of players, we have not done 1 minute of video analysis of any team this year.
The Club Championship Show. Subscribe to the GAA podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
David Moran of Cairns O'Reilly's and Kerry ahead of Saturday's 2022 AIB Munster GAA Football Senior Club Championship Final against Newcastle West of Limerick. The AIB GAA All-Ireland Club Championship features some of the hashtag toughest players from communities all across Ireland. Now it's in its 32nd year supporting the Club Championships, AIB is extremely proud to once again celebrate the communities that play a role in sustaining our national games. David, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
I'm good. How are yourselves?
I hope your emoji game is strong, is it?
I won't even go into that one. I'm out of my depth, but judging by your conversation.
How many different team WhatsApp groups are you in, as a matter of interest?
There's kind of the two tiers. There's the ones with the management in it and the ones with the players only.
That's the one with the better crack, I'd imagine. You can say what you want.
I suppose I've two to club and two with Kerry.
Right. And the ones with the managers, is that like literally lads training is this time? Or do they actually send in, is that where you get your videos of analysis and stuff as well?
No, we've a couple of different platforms for that. It's kind of general logistics, a lot of it, or if there's people unsure about training, if they want to have a message that management, or it wouldn't just be management, it would be backroom staff, or, you know, it would be everyone. But it's more logistics more than anything.
And is that a pain? Like, is that, because that's obviously changed since you came in first, always contactable all the time. And you know the way you can turn off whether or not you were last seen. That's another like little dangerous thing. And last seen 4:10, it's like, oh, good night.
Yeah, I know. During my career, was some days the emails came in and it kind of blew people's minds. But no, it was it's fine actually. Do you know, it's you know by what group it's going into, how serious the message is going to be, roughly,
and how much attention you need to pay to it, basically.
Yeah.
Has that changed, David, since you started in Kerry, or even with Cairns as well? Like the technology in the dressing room, and you know, young lads on the phones and that sort of thing.
Hugely. It's big thing, like even just from team bonding and stuff, you might have no phones, or you know, there was a fine system for being on your phone or while we're eating, or there was that kind of stuff. But it is changed, and the technology in terms of analysis and stuff has changed hugely, but it's for the better. But yeah, it's funny now, like you might have analysis, video analysis stuff now half time, which you wouldn't have dreamed of even for the first quarter of my career, not to mind the first when I started, you know.
And were you always keen to embrace that, like the whatever data you could get, or did it take you a while to sift through and go, these are the bits that are really important to me?
I think I would have been for that kind of stuff. I would have been very much keen to, if I could see you could see the improvement in that side of things very easily, you know, the how it could improve your game and extra analysis and all that kind of stuff. I might have been a bit slower to band work and some of that kind of stuff to adopt that, but in terms of the video stuff, the other different things, improvements to technology, I would have been a good user of it, or I certainly wouldn't have been resistant to it anyway.
Is the band work the stat sports stuff, the sports bra and the information about how far you've run, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like it has to be done, like it's important, but I think like there's some guys are saying that they'd nearly be more upset if they forgot their bends in their boots, and I certainly didn't fit in that camp.
Are you enjoying playing football at the moment?
Yeah, it's great. So look, we've had a great year in terms of success and winning stuff, and it's always easier when you're winning. But like it doesn't feel like I've been on the go nearly 12 months. which is obviously a great thing. But yeah, I definitely am, and I do like the split seasons. I like going away for Kerry and training hard, and you know, being all in there, and I like coming back to the club and you know, going all in there. I used to like as much when the say the serious club stuff, football would be in April, and you're trying to play football the weekends with the club at a very high level, but you're still trying to get a bit of work done during the week with Kerry, and you're kind of just. I used to enjoy that as much, but I like now that once Kerry's finished, you're back in, all in, it's all the club, you know, I'm enjoying that. You're enjoying the fun, the trainings, and I suppose at the moment we're having a good run, there's great buzz in the community, you're able to enjoy all that funny, you know, fully.
I know you've been saying that, the Kerry decision going back next year is up in the air until the club finishes. Lee Keegan's kind of onto this recently saying something similar. Is it a case, David, for yourself that you know what you want to do in your head, but you, I guess, don't want to verbalise it and commit to it until the club is over, or are you completely on the fence as to the intercounty return?
I haven't committed to either way or that, you know, I was put under pressure to it. I just kind of was like, look, just don't even go address it too hard, and then at Christmas sit down and go through the pros and cons. I think that if I'd finished in October time at the club, it would have been a different decision, because I would have had to have made my decision earlier to see if I could need to keep myself fit for the next 3 months with no football to try and get at that level. But at the moment, I'm still playing at a good level, and you know, I'm still keeping the body taken over. So it's a case of like, I don't have to make my decision now.
It's probably tough to step aside from intercounty as well, but there's all Ireland's at the beck and call.
I think no matter when you finish up, you'll always have regrets whether you went too early or you went too late. I think, you know, there's no easy way of doing it.
I don't know if you, on Saturday afternoons, we have a Saturday panel discussion, and one of the clips that we have at the start is Niall O'Toole, who's a former world champion rower. And the clip that we picked from him is, you should prolong, I'm going to mangle it now, but I'm paraphrasing, you should continue your sports career for as long as you can, because everything else after that is pretty shitty, almost verbatim. And so we're going to make the case today for you to continue, because, like, you know, it's you're still playing really well, you can still influence games. It's a different type of influence maybe when you were at your absolute peak at 24, 25, 26, 27, but you know, there's a lot to be said for people who set tones and set cultures within a group, that the responsibility isn't just the 70 minutes on the field of play. And maybe you've come to realise that as your career has gone on.
Yeah, this year was a very different year for me, just in terms of you know, I was obviously injured for a lot of it, for the lot of the early part of it. And then coming back in, I got a break with guys getting injured and getting a chance, and I was able to hold my place. But it was still, you know, I was a different player on the team than I might have been in prior years. And, you know, it was the other guys that were driving it on more than, say, my era. The guys I played with, a lot of them are gone. But so I kind of enjoyed this year in a funny way, in that I was kind of being not led by other guys, but I was very much enjoying seeing guys who were come through as great minors to really step up and be, you know, leaders, you know, national leaders, and driving the team on. And I was enjoying being part of it, whether before I might have been trying to be one of the main guys and that. So I did enjoy it in a funny way this year. And I do agree with you that when you get to the latter stage of your career, it's not all about being, you know, the main guy for the 70 minutes. That you do have I suppose, whether you like it or not, what the way you behave is representative of the career, you know, the longevity that you've had. So it's there's a lot of factors to weigh up. A lot of it will come down to personal stuff. You know, my wife's due a second child in February. You know, work is busy. I want to still be able to play at a level where I feel I'm competing. You know, so there's a lot of play. It won't just come down to, you know, like, will I start, will I stop, will I be an impact sub or not? You know, these kind of things, it won't just come down to that. It'll be a number of factors.
Yeah. There must be a huge level of anticipation as well about the quality of team that's there at the moment. Because you've seen all of the great Kerry eras. You've lived it, like, in your family life. You know exactly what everything has been like the whole way through. And it feels like this crop at the moment has as much potential as any of the teams that there ever has been.
Yeah, like, and that's like when I weigh up my decision, I'll be saying, look, I expect Kerry to be in the shake-up. I'm not saying they'll win it, or but you're expecting they'll be there, that you'll either be going to Croke Park, you know, as a panel member or as a spectator, you know, and that'll be kind of a decision that you just have to expect, you know. But it is, I do think it's exciting times, and, you know, I feel very lucky that I've kind of, you know, been able to see both sides of it. I saw the Declan Sullivans and the Gooches, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week, and now you're seeing the Shawny Shays and the David Cliffords 4 nights a week. You know, it's you know, and I do feel very privileged in that, but it is exciting time. You know, it's great seeing guys that, you know, you won the, I don't know how many, 4 or 5 minors in a row, and they're starting to, you know, to become good seniors as opposed to just good minors. You know, but, you know, and getting over the line, I think, was a big thing for a lot of guys in the group this year, you know, and you'll be expecting, you know, that they'll be in the shake-up going forward, which I suppose they're going from the hunter to the hunted now, so it's always going to be a different chance. But yeah, like, it is an exciting time for Kerry, absolutely.
Nice short season as well, you know, over by next August. What's not to like about it? We're doing our best here for all the Kerry fans out there. We're doing our best. I do want to ask you about a sliding doors moment in your life that we were just reading about in the papers today. You were talking about the last time the club were in a final like this. And I didn't realise, but you and Tommy Walsh were essentially on the same trial in Australia. You were like, okay, thanks very much for coming out, David. Tommy stayed behind. Do you ever think about what life would have been like if you had made that trial and stayed in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, so I went in 2008, we were in the Ireland final, and both of us were asked over to Australia, and I couldn't go because I had exams. So Tommy went over and did all the trials kind of in 08, and I'd say when we went back over in 09, they kind of had all their, like I said, they came back and they were kind of monitoring the National League games in 09 and that kind of stuff. And then, but they had kind of Tommy done all the testing and all the trials and everything. So they knew that Tommy was going to be, you know, they were going to sign Tommy once he was happy to go. So when I went over in 2009, I was on there at the same time as Tommy trial-wise, but he'd already done the testing. He'd already done, you know, hit all the figures that he needed to hit in terms of different distances, times, that kind of stuff. So I went over, but it was funny, when I went over, they kind of had me scouted as a different kind of player. Like, I mean, I got all the gear and it was medium, like, and I was like, Jesus, this is very tight. And then, so it was kind of like, I ended up almost competing with Tommy for the same position because we were both similar. Well, he was obviously but stronger, but, you know, so it worked out kind of funny that way. And, like, it was, I think I had to do the 3K or the 1K in certain time, or else the 20-meter sprint in under 3 seconds or something. But I was close in both, but I didn't get one under. So I remember I got called on a Thursday into the manager's office, and he said, look, you're not going to get a contract. We're going to, you have a couple of choices. You can stay on and prove us wrong, or you can, we'll pay for you to go on holidays around Australia. And I said, look, my dad is training the local team here when the Munster final, so I need you to get me on a flight to Ireland as soon as you can. And yeah, I think I ended up getting 3 or 4 flights to try and get into Dublin and got down. But the way the game went, I'd be better off missing it. But yeah, not that I think about if I'd stayed there, because I kind of gave everything I had. I think if I got off the contract, I probably would have signed. But, you know, it didn't work out too bad.
No, obviously it didn't. It's just, it is a totally different life.
I enjoyed it. I love the professional side of it. Like, the weather wasn't bad either. But yeah, like, it's, and then, you know, professional sports isn't all it's cracked up to be as well. I suppose I was over on trial seeing the best of it. You know, they're trying to convince you this is the be all and end all. There's a lot of downsides to professional sports as well, and obviously I'd been very close to Tommy when he was there, and you'd see, you know, the injuries that he went through, and you know, at times you're out of favourite team, and it's an all-consuming bubble in the professional sports. At least, you know, if things aren't going well with Kerry, at least I have my work, you know, my family are close, that kind of stuff. It's a different ball game on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's a brutal conversation, isn't it? You couldn't do these two things that we need you to do, and so therefore off you go.
Yeah, and that was, I was surprised about at the time, like, because, you know, skills wise I was able to, I was fairly happy at what I was doing with the oval ball. It didn't even matter. You know, it was just like, can't do the 3K under 3 minutes, or the 1K under 3 minutes, or you can't do the 20 metres under 3 seconds. You got to do one or the other.
It's mad how life turns out as well, in that it's yourself and Tommy competing for a jersey thousands of miles away, when you consider your parents are very close. Yeah, you both went to the same school since Montessori as well, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, but yeah, I was never going to win that one.
he is a beast, isn't he? It's like,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and obviously still a key player for you guys at the weekend.
Yeah, he's, you know, he played very well last week. You know, and the county championship we had a poor run. It's probably no coincidence that he was injured for it. Yeah, he's just, you know, even last year with Kerry, like, he was very good in training. He was, all the lads really looked up to him. You know, so it's, I think I'd say Jason Foley was really sticking by the end of it.
David, I got in a bit of bother this week. We've been talking about the club for the last number of weeks on the show, but made the point this week, rashly in some quarters, I guess people have said,
oh,
that
go for it, don't, oh,
yeah,
Shane, come
don't
on,
back down, double down, yeah, that essentially saying Kilmacud Crokes could well compete and perhaps win the Tailteann Cup.
You didn't say that. You said they would win the Tailteann Cup. You said it as baldly as that. There was no could well compete. Come on.
No. So my point to you, David, I guess, is my point, I suppose, was the quality of club football has increased dramatically, that it's become this remarkable thing between Kilmacud and Kilcoo and Corrifin. And I guess it's slightly different when you look at divisional teams in Kerry, for example. But how do you think club teams hypothetically could compare, you know, say in a Division 3 or a Division 4 in at intercounty level?
It's very hard. I don't know. It's a big statement, right, saying they've been Tailteann Cup.
Back me up here, David, come on.
I don't know. I mean, all I can see is on here in East Kerry, and, you know, a lot of the guys are, most of them would have played with Kerry at all age groups, and a lot of them would have been involved in Kerry setup and stuff. So you'd have to think that a team like that would be competitive at some level. I don't know whether you'd say that they're going to win. Would they compete in Division 3 or 4? I suppose some of them probably would. I don't know to what extent, though. I don't know.
It takes some scalps, I tell you.
So your difficulty is you have to play against these teams again.
To be honest, I actually don't know. I think you could argue either way. They certainly have individuals who are, you know, obviously very, very talented, but whether they'd be balanced enough to compete, you know, over a league, I think would be the big thing for them.
Has club has the feeling in terms of training and sports science and conditioning around club level dramatically increased since you started?
Yeah. I actually think it was nearly worse a couple of years ago. I think you saw all those, you know, the charters and stuff being kind of leaked and stuff. I think it's come back a little bit. You know, that it's because there for a while, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, it was, seemed to be just like the almost like the fun was being taken out of it. It was gone so serious. But I'd like to think that it's come back. But compared to where I started, when I came in, we had a quite good club team. We got to the county final in 2008. We were in Munster Club final in 2009, and that kind of thing. So it would have been very, very serious, and we would have had a very good group of guys, you know, knocking around Kerry under 21s and Kerry seniors at the time. You know, so it would have been quite serious when I came in the club. But I'd say, as a general rule, the standard and commitment has definitely increased hugely. I'd say probably in Dublin, even stuff with the use of the modern technology, I'd say is in a lot of the clubs. I'd say that's even a different level altogether as well.
Why do you think it's calmed down a bit in recent years?
I don't know how sustainable that was. I know if I was a club player and I was getting, you know, the charters and your whole life was being revolved around it, I think COVID comes in and you kind of get, you know, a reality of, you know, geez, there's more to this. You know, I think that, I just don't know. I think it was almost the fun side of it was being taken out. You weren't allowed nights out. You weren't allowed out this, that, and the other. There were really not allowed to do stuff more than you were allowed. You know, I just maybe thought that they were trying to, it was gone too serious, too intense. And, I'm not sure the reward was there for it. You know, that, you know, I suppose the club football is in my idea, is representing your community, representing the people you grew up with, having fun and, you know, playing sport. But I just thought it was gone too serious. And I just, maybe I'm wrong now, but I think in the last couple of years, it seems to have come back a bit, thankfully.
And it feels like the split season is something that feeds into that, where you know that you can go hard for these 6 months of the year if you're a club player, and then you will have time off and you will be able to go on holidays and you will be able to, you know, organise family functions around a time of the year where you're not going to get frowned upon for missing the game.
Yeah, and I think that's the way it should be. Do you know, I think that it should be like that at club level. It should be taken serious for the period that you're in, an intense period. But it just can't be 12 months, and it can't just be, you know, putting in restrictions and sanctions for the sake of it, you know. I do believe, like, you know, that it's, you know, club football is amazing. There's nearly a field in every town in Ireland, and, you know, it's the central part of the community, and, you know, it has to be fun. You have to want to play, you know. It can't just be a chore that you feel you have to do something, you know. You want to have people bursting to go on, like, we guys now coming back from Dubai in America to play in the game Sunday, you know, and that's great. You guys coming from, you know, 7 hours away or 5 hours away to want to play with our community, you know, and that's what it should be, as opposed to you can't do this, you can't do that.
The desire and heart is still clearly there for you, David, especially considering you were sent off in the semi-final against Aroog a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah. That sort of thing. I suppose from a leadership perspective, you almost have to be seen to be the Roy Keane of the team, you know, when you're at your age at club level. You need to be the one who's kind of setting the benchmark and giving them one.
Giving in trouble. That's it.
Giving Mark Overmars a little kick, yeah, start of the game.
I think they look up to Tommy more than me anyway. So, but, yeah, no, I don't know. Like last week was this fine thing. Just one of those things. I hope it's the last time, first and last time in my career getting sent off.
Was that your first sending off in your career?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
So. I don't mean to sound surprised, but it's just, yeah,
there's been a... You're making out to be very, very dirty footballer.
The Gary Lineker of Gaelic Games, fair play. That's, yeah, it's not an easy achievement to not get sent off. Like, you talk about lads, especially the constant ribbing that goes on in matches. Like, we saw the treatment that, you know, Padraig O'Hara had with David Clifford, for example, that seems to have crept into the game more and more. Like, so to, I guess, cope with that, especially for you in the middle of the park, and not get sent off or riled up, must take a little bit of self-control.
Well, it's probably easier on the middle because, I don't think there's as much verbals in the middle because you're not standing beside a fella for the whole game. If you're inside the full back or full forward line, there's a lot of the game where you're just literally standing beside the fella beside you and, you know, it's one-on-one. But on the middle, you're kind of moving the whole time. I don't think there's as much of it. I'd say, I suppose if David Clifford's midfielder, he'd probably be getting plenty of it out there too, but it's a little bit easier out there. But it's funny, I was doing myself and the two Cliffords were at a local school here yesterday with the cup, and it was like random question selection, and of course it just came to me, like, have you ever been sent off? I thought the two lads were going to fall off the stage.
More recently than people thought, yeah.
They're enjoying life. They're playing a lot of games this year, but I suspect you want to play games rather than being training, because they'd be training anyway, right?
Yeah, like I'm trying to figure out, like, I mean, under the old system, you probably played the same amount of games. I mean, the same competitions were there. It just, like, you were just kind of playing them in between club, and I say you go do a blast at club, back to county, you know, you're still, like, all the competitions that we played in this year, at the moment, obviously, we've got further than we would have previously, but I think, like, you know, you're still playing the same amount of games, but absolutely, to answer your question, you know, the more games, the better, certainly, anyway, club level, like, you know.
Two last quick comments. Moran would be an incredible loss if he was to leave the Kerry panel. He adds something that they currently don't have on the panel at that level, says William Doyle. I don't know if you want to... Yeah, good man, William. Is that the answer to that?
Yeah.
And then the last one was, why does David wear socks fully up to his knees? Unusual in GAA circles. It's like one of the kids in the audience.
Yeah, it's what happened, I tell you, I just did it when I was young, and it just never stopped. That was kind of mainly thing. It was probably fine. When Kieran was playing, he was doing as well, so at least there was two of us. But he's gone now. It was more just a comfort thing, because I usually wear two pairs of football socks, and particularly if it was wet, I just find use on my boot. But it was just a comfort thing, and then I just got to the page now that if I didn't do it, it'd be nearly a bigger statement.
nice easy one for you, Dave. But who's the greatest Kerry forward you've ever played with?
Jesus, no way I'm going there.
We won't tell anyone what you said.
No.
I'll give you an easier one. Who's the greatest midfielder you've ever played against? The Dubs have had a few.
Yeah, I suppose either James McCarthy or Brian Fenton.
What makes the likes of McCarthy and Fenton so hard to play against?
Their athleticism was incredible. Obviously, they were playing in a great team, which makes it very difficult to, you know, you couldn't... you're playing against, you know, guys say of a less with a lesser team, and if you nullify that person, you know, the whole team swaps where you kind of didn't have too much help with Dublin because everybody had to mark a good guy. And I suppose James was incredibly athletic, you know, and you couldn't take your eyes off him because he'd score. So you couldn't be, you were trying to obviously play your own game, but you just couldn't, And someone like me, he was more athletic than I was, same as Brian Fenton, so that I couldn't afford to give him, to let him get a yard of me because I wasn't going to make it back. So I thought there were two different players. Like, I think James Carter could probably play anywhere. And Brian Fenton then just did everything so easy. He was, you know, he was obviously a bigger guy and a better athlete than I was, but obviously a great decision maker. So I just did team two and looked at, you could, there's a lot of different strengths that they had, but they're probably two of the best, you know, the best five or six or seven guys of the last, of the, you know, our generation, you know, and they were just top quality footballers, really.
I actually think McCarthy is the best footballer on that Dublin team at any point over that era, when the careers are all kind of held up at the end, when we look back on that period, I think at the end, whatever the metrics you use, you're going to be like, actually, he is the best because he was there for all of it and he was always impactful and he's still impactful at the very end.
Yeah, and like, I remember, like, say, when Tommy came back in, he was the guy that was put back on Tommy at times, you know, when they needed it or something happened in midfield, he was put out midfield, you know, he seemed to be the guy that, the thing, and I played international rules with him, like, and you just knew that's just, you know, having coffee at field, you just say, this guy's a guy you definitely go to the trenches with, you know. You know, I thought he was, you know, the two guys, they were two fantastic players. A
couple of decent additions back into the Dublin panel again.
Yeah.
For David and Mannion and McCarthy. Like,
did that make the WhatsApp groups?
Yeah.
It actually didn't, I suppose. The timing of it probably was good in the sense that we were probably all out still celebrating. So was, it didn't get into the group, no. But I was actually surprised how young they were. Do you know, when I saw their ages and stuff, I was expecting them to be older, but they're still very much in their prime. So it'll be a huge addition to Dublin too. Fantastic players, yeah.
Adds a bit of juice to next year as well.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck, particularly with the second child. That's you think you've got life handled when you've got one and you understand how things are going, but number two, that's another bomb going off in your life. So I wish you the very best of luck, and we hope to see the socks pulled up for much longer. David, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Thanks, man. No, cheers.
OTB AM.
With Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.